Welcome to Talking Underwater, one water, one podcast. I'm Bob Crossan, editorial director for the Endeavor Business Media Water Group. The future of our society is written in water. And by extension, water and wastewater professionals are a vital component of that future. In late February, Assistant Administrator to the Office of Water, Radhika Fox, departed the office and moved to work at Xylem. Upon her departure, Deputy Assistant Administrator Bruno Piggott was promoted to Acting Assistant Administrator. He has more than 30 years of history as a public servant in the water and wastewater industry, and 20 of those years were spent with the Indiana Department of Environmental Management. In this interview, he'll explain what his goals are for the Office of Water, his vision for the industry's future, and the actions EPA will take in the coming months and years to safeguard the most precious resource on Earth, water. So without further ado, let's talk to Bruno Piggott. I'm joined today by Bruno Piggott. He is Acting Assistant Administrator to the U.S. EPA Office of Water. He took over leadership of the office at the end of February after the departure of Radhika Fox. Bruno comes with 30 years of public service experience, 20 plus of which was with the Indiana Department of Environmental Management. So Bruno, thank you so much for taking the time with us today.
Well, thank you, Bob. I want to say thanks for taking the time to talk to me about these important issues. I appreciate the work you all do, and I am thankful that we have an opportunity to chat about the work we're planning to do.
Yeah, well, and I'm thankful to have the opportunity to talk to you so that folks in the industry have a good understanding of what things are going on and where things are headed. So, to that point, from your vantage point, what are some of the biggest issues in the water, wastewater, and stormwater world that you see is being faced at this time from water professionals in the country?
When I think about that, I think about how we frame the work we all do. Because when I'm talking about our work, I'm not talking about just the work of us at EPA, but also the work of all water and wastewater professionals. And we frame our work quite simply to ensure our water is fishable, swimmable, and drinkable. And that'll be familiar to everyone. And when Congress passed the Bipartisan Clean Water Act and the Safe Drinking Water Act 50 years ago, you know, our rivers, and everybody knows this, were treated poorly. Mm-hmm. If you dipped your hand into the Grand Calumet River, it came out black. The Cuyahoga River caught fire. Pollution could be seen and smelled in our waters. And we measured pollutants in pounds. Today, many of our rivers have been restored. The Grand Cal now supports salmon, for example. Mm-hmm. We measure pollutants at microscopic levels. And so we've accomplished a lot, yet our waters are dynamic. They're not static. We face new issues such as PFAS and nutrients, and our problems are complex. And that's why EPA is providing unprecedented amounts of funding and technical assistance to states and to communities to assist them in meeting these challenges. And here's what we're facing today. We're facing the work necessary to protect public health from emerging contaminants like PFAS in their drinking water, changing health outcomes for children in thousands of communities by getting the lead out of the remaining 9 million service lines throughout the country, protecting our waters from excess nutrients that are causing harmful algal blooms, whether it's in Lake Erie, whether it's in the Gulf of Mexico or Lake Okeechobee in Florida, and dealing with extreme water events like flooding or drought and water shortages brought on by climate change. And then there's the key to all of this, and that's investing in our infrastructure to handle all these challenges. So that's kind of an outline of where we're at.
Yeah. There seems to be a lot of like very big things that we're working on in the water sector. While we are dealing with minutiae in a lot of ways, you talk about this infinitesimally small thing that we're worried about. At the same time, there's some big picture items that are really on the docket. I mean, and kind of with that as the frame, I guess, what are some of the highest priorities that you have as you step into this role with EPA? Are those changing at all from the previous assistant administrator? I would presume not, but what are your thoughts as you step into this role? What are some of the highest priorities that you have?
My priority is to ensure, and this is something you've all heard before, that we're delivering on what we set out to do. That is to follow the science and follow the law, in the end, to protect public health and the environment, and investing in communities to ensure that they make a difference for generations to come. So what does that mean in terms of the challenges? Top priorities include protecting Americans from PFAS. That means implementing a final drinking water rule for PFAS, also removing lead from drinking water. The LCRI, we call it, the lead and copper rule improvements, will change health outcomes for thousands of American children. We'll be removing lead lines throughout the country. And you know, the president just gave a State of the Union address, and he mentioned this in the State of the Union address. And then we're talking about our investments in water. Our biggest priority to achieve these goals that I just set out is getting more money and assistance out the door to communities that need it most. Already, we've awarded $13.7 billion in bipartisan infrastructure law funding, which is helping communities replace lead service lines, installing treatments needed to address PFAS, helping them build out their water and wastewater treatment plants for addressing climate change, maintaining their systems, and much, much more. And those improvements will not just help our residents today. Those improvements are going to help our children and our children's children as well. And here's the other thing, Bob. 49% of the dollars that we've distributed in the $13.7 billion I talked about go to disadvantaged communities so that we may ensure that all Americans benefit from our infrastructure dollars. And then we know that some of these programs aren't easy to take advantage of. You have to have resources in the community to prepare the applications, to do the preliminary engineering reports and all the other documentation. It's almost an army of people that needs to help support a community, which is why we've worked on the Get the Lead Out initiative and closing the wastewater gap initiative that are providing engineering and financial services to communities to help those communities who couldn't afford to get that help and get on the list of communities to take advantage of our SRF and bipartisan infrastructure law funding. We're already helping 750 communities across the country, and we're committed to doubling that over the next 3 years. You know, there are a host of other issues, Bob, out there that are really important. And I want to mention them just because they go on the honorary list of important issues, I think. One is cybersecurity. You know, we know cybersecurity is a real issue. There have been water plants that have been hacked into by government entities and by non-state actors. And we're worried about that. And we've got resources at EPA as the Sector Risk Management Agency to assist those communities in ensuring that they're protected against cyber intrusions. And we're going to work with federal partners, including the Department of Homeland Security, our Department of Defense, and other government entities to support drinking water and wastewater systems in dealing with the protections necessary to protect all of our citizens from cyber intrusions. In addition to that, the bipartisan infrastructure law provides funding that communities can use to bolster their cyber protections. We've got a whole host on the industrial side of the wastewater equation of work that we're doing and important stuff regarding effluent limit guidelines. Harmful algal blooms are occurring across the nation. And I mentioned Lake Okeechobee, Mississippi River Basin, and the Great Lakes as water bodies that have had problems with this. We've got to tackle those problems, and we're working together with our folks in the agricultural community and municipalities to deal with those issues. And there's a whole host of others I could go into, but those are at the top of the list.
Yeah. Like I said, no shortage No shortage of things that need to be tackled. And I think that when I hear what you're saying, I get a glimpse of kind of the vision that you see for the future of water. Could you elaborate on that vision? Like, what do you see as the future of the water industry? What does that vision look like to you?
Well, first of all, I think the future of the water industry is in really good hands. The number of wastewater professionals that I've worked with, the experience and the knowledge that they have is tremendous. And we've tackled huge challenges in the past. Who would have thought that some of the water bodies that were listed as areas of concern in the Great Lakes areas would ever be brought back? And they're coming back, and they're coming back strong. So our future depends on our wastewater and drinking water professionals, and we are suited to ensure that we continue to ensure that they have the training in place, and they have the education needed to fully understand and tackle the problems before us. We are also working to ensure that we promote efforts to provide more resources to communities to develop their leaders into the people that will run our wastewater systems and our drinking water systems in the future. And then our broad vision is to follow the science, follow the law, be transparent, advance justice and equity. And all of those things are important. We cannot do it alone. We cannot do it ourselves. We need all of the wastewater professionals, whether it's an engineering company, whether it's the person operating wastewater treatment plant, whether it's the finance person that is helping arrange the dollars that make the improvements to a water system affordable, working together, rowing in the same direction. And, I've worked in this industry, as you mentioned at the beginning, for decades. And what I do know is that we do row in the same direction, and that direction is improving our water systems. Now, I know, and you know, that there are new problems that come up all along the way. We don't know what we'll face, but what I do know is that the people who are in place today are better prepared than ever before to tackle the challenges of the future. What's the new PFAS? I can't say. We're dealing with PFAS today. We're going to have improvements in place. We have the lead and copper rule, which will make a huge difference in the delivery of clean and safe water to people's homes. And when we tackle those problems, there will be something new that we understand we need to do. If we work together, I am sure we'll be able to tackle all of those new problems that we haven't anticipated today.
So in your role now leading the Office of Water, how do you feel you can impart that vision to the industry? What role do you think you play that now with the position that you currently hold?
Well, I think part of the role I play is the ability to get out and work with our states and communities. As a person who's been an elected official, I understand what it's like to request funds from your ratepayers to improve your facilities. I understand how that's received oftentimes in the community. I also understand what it's like to be a state government official that is tasked with implementing the policies that are set in Washington. And I also understand about the financing aspect of this because I ran a state revolving fund program. My hope is that I can use all of those experiences and the relationships I've built over the past decades to ensure that we make progress to tackle the new issues that come up. And I think I'm suited to do that given the experience I've had in all these areas. And I also owe the wastewater professionals I've worked with over the years a big thank you for the guidance, the training they provided me. And I look forward to also helping those people that are up and coming in the industry understand where what I've seen in the past. So, looking forward to working with the people that are in place today, sharing my experiences. Also, it helps me, I think, understand how we implement rules that we put in place here in Washington, D.C., and how states will be required to respond to those new policy choices.
Well, thank you so much, Bruno. I really appreciate you taking the time today. Is there anything else that you wanted to discuss or to mention before I let you go?
Well, there's so much, Bob.
We talked about a lot of it already. It's crazy that there's more.
I do want to say something I think is really important. You know, we have historic levels of funding through bipartisan infrastructure law, mm-hmm. $50 billion. You know, when I started in this industry, the one thing we would always say was we don't have enough money to do the job. We never had enough in our SRF coffers to handle all of the problems in our state. We put together clean water needs surveys and drinking water needs surveys. And inevitably, when we did that, we found that the amount of money we were receiving in CAP grants from the federal government did not quite cover the needs that we had. But today, we face a wholly changed outlook financially. We have $50 billion devoted to improving our water and wastewater systems. As I mentioned, we've got $13.7 billion delivered to states to assist communities throughout the states. We are going to see more and more successes, more and more improvements at water and wastewater facilities throughout the country as those dollars are turned into hard and soft and green infrastructure. And as more money is awarded, more construction continues, more jobs will be created, more systems will be up to date. And here's the thing that you and I both know about our water and wastewater stuff. It's not that those improvements just help residents in their homes today. It helps their children. It helps their children's children. And it's going to help communities across the country. We have witnessed improvements in waters over the past 50 years, whether it's under the Safe Drinking Water Act or the Clean Water Act. And now we have an opportunity to make such a big difference in the new challenges we face and prepare ourselves to deal with those challenges because the Biden-Harris administration has provided this $50 billion in funding and communities are getting out there and implementing it. So really, I suppose this is a big thank you to the water sector professionals for your work, your passion, your commitment. And I just want to say how proud I am and how thankful I am to be a member of this august group of people that are making a difference for all Americans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's generational infrastructure.
It is.
Right?
It really
it's
is.
Like a once in a generation funding boon while we don't necessarily see all of it right now, in 5 years, we're going to look back and be like, and this is going to last us another 30, 50 yes. years even.
Yes, think about that. My children are 21, 25, and 27. So they're going to benefit from these improvements. Mm-hmm. And before you know it, they're going to have children of their own. So my grandchildren will be benefiting from these improvements as well. And that's why it's so important actually to make progress and eliminate the lead from our water systems across the country and do it expeditiously. You know, the president in his State of the State now, each time over the past three State of the Unions, has, you know, said we're going to get the lead out. He's provided funding to do it, and we're putting in place the rule to make sure it happens.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much, Bruno. I really appreciate you taking the time with me this morning.
Oh, my pleasure, Bob. It's really great. You're talking to us at a really great time. 50 years of celebration of the Safe Drinking Water
Act.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, so it's a big thing. And 50 years from now, we'll be celebrating 100, and somebody will be sitting here and talking about how lucky they were that we invested in our water and our wastewater resources at this time.
Yeah, two important years back to back for EPA, Clean Water Act and Safe Drinking Water Act.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, thank you for your time. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Bob. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Bruno, for taking the time to speak with me about the EPA Office of Water, your new role there at the EPA Office of Water, and what the future holds for all water professionals in the United States. If you are listening to this and you'd prefer to watch it, we actually have a video of this exact interview on Wastewater Digest website. Go to wwwdmag.com/videos to see it there. On to some housekeeping. The latest editions of Waterworld, Wastewater Digest, and Stormwater Solutions are all available right now. Go to waterworld.com/magazines, wwdmag.com/magazines, or stormwater.com/magazines to see the latest issue today. And with that, don't forget to like, subscribe, share on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, and Spotify. You can also reach out to us by emailing talkingunderwater@endeavorb2b.com to share your thoughts. And also, don't forget to follow us on X at TUW Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be right back.